Good seeing you all this morning, and we'll call ourselves to order. And let me call on Mr. Howard Bailey for our invocation, please.
Can we bow our heads? Oh, Holy Supreme Spirit, we come to you and say thank you for the blessings in which we have received. We ask that you continue to support this institution and help each member of the university community to maximize their learning and maximize their teaching. We ask you to give our leadership, our board, the confidence, the guidance, and the knowledge to make decisions which will continue to help this institution to reach its ultimate goal. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Howard. Call the roll call now, Mr. Porter.
Dr. Dennison?
Here.
Ms. Haskins? Mr. Higdon?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mr. Meyer?
Here.
Dr. Mentor?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Wilkie? Mr. Zilke?
He's here.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
I'll count him absent if he were.
We'll discipline a little bit.
Barbara came there. Yeah.
Thank you, David. I know you all are aware we have not reviewed the minutes maybe as much as some of you would like, and I would suggest that we table the approval of the minutes for the last meeting until our next session. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you so much. Ms. Haskins not here. I'll ask now.
If I could, I would like to make an introduction before we get started on the agenda, because he's here and he may have other things to do this morning. But I want to introduce to you Colton Jesse. Colton, stand up, please. Colton is our new student body president and will become the student regent at the July meeting. A broadcasting major, a junior, television with a focus on television and film production. He's a 2007 graduate of Bowling Green High School. He attended the Governor's School for the Arts. He's been in SGA most of his time at WKU in the Legislative Research Committee and Judicial Council. He has worked at our on-campus news station. He's been an Honors College student since his freshman year. So, Colton, congratulations on your election. Well done, and we look forward to formally inducting you into this Board of Regents. Great job. Wanted this board to meet Colton Jesse.
Thank you.
Welcome again to you, Colton. I think he got around and met most everybody this morning, but we're looking forward to your addition, and congratulations once more to you, sir.
Thank you.
And I would like to just very briefly, since I don't know what their schedules will be, Barbara has things on the agenda, may not have a formal role on the agenda today, but I want to acknowledge Wood Selig and Barbara Birch. This will be their last official Board of Regents meeting. We will have a budget meeting coming up, Barbara, that you may be part of. But in terms of our regular Board of Regents meetings, We want to thank both Wood and Barbara. We had a wonderful evening earlier this week with Wood. Wood was a great sport, and we had a lot of fun and saluting Wood and his family, and Patty and Melissa and Jim Johnson were at the Woods, and Kevin was at the Woods dinner on Tuesday night, I guess. But Wood, thank you, and Barbara, we'll have the opportunity to salute you on May 4, but since this will be your last official Board of Regents meetings, I wanted to acknowledge that, put that in the minutes. Thank you for your incredible service, and look forward to the opportunity to staying close for many more years with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, Dr. Birch, if you would come up, we've Academic Affairs Committee. There's six action items, and if I think we can just take those first four like we did in the committee meetings, if it's all right, and I'll let you take it over from there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Myers. The first four that you see before you are for new BA, BS degree programs, and you want to take four or five?
Let's just take all five of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the fifth one is a new associate degree in water resource management. As is sometimes the case with these programs, there's a 45-day period on CPE review before we can officially move it forward. They've all been through our own governance system and curriculum committee and Senate, so when it says pending, you know that we still are waiting for council to release us to go ahead with it. It does not say pending on water resource management, but Sylvia, I think it's still being held by the council, right?
Yes, it is.
I would just make two quick comments, if I may, Mr. Myers, before you actually move it. On these first ones, this is another illustration of the creativity of the department heads and deans, I think, in putting together programs that are responsive to needs of students without necessarily having to come up with new resources. The water resource management is the first associate degree proposal you have seen from us. Well, I think there hasn't been one in the 14 years I've been here, because under the new guidelines, we are not the primary associate degree provider. This is one that is coming before you because we have a very, very wonderful and expansive water quality program, research lab, curriculum, and we are positioned to do some things that have an immediate consequence for workforce that community colleges do not have. So this one is pending resolution of whether or not we will be allowed to offer it. So that's all I have to say on those.
Thank you. So I would ask... Yes, sir.
I just have a brief comment. I think I noticed at our committee meeting, I don't recognize all the professors' names, but I recognize about half of them, and they came here for the committee meeting, I guess, to talk about the majors. I don't know if any of them are here today or not. I don't see anybody, but if they are, I'd like to give them just 2-3 minutes just to talk about what each proposal is. Especially this group looks particularly noteworthy in terms of the new programs we're creating. That's just something I really like to hear about, and I think it's one of the, in my opinion, probably coolest thing I think we do is create these academic programs. If anybody happens to be here, do you know?
Well, I could have someone speak very briefly on it, Mr. Meyer, if that's acceptable.
Sure.
And we don't have all of those individuals, but we do have Dean Lee, who knows all of those programs, the first three, and Dr. George can speak to the fourth one, and Dr. Geico to the fifth. So, Dean Lee, you're on. Come on.
Thank you. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk about Potter College. Thank you very much. Let me give you a fact and a consequence. At the beginning of this academic year, 70% of the full-time faculty members in Potter College had been here 10 years or less. And as a consequence, it's a rising generation of new faculty members who've been formed differently, different experiences, different ideas, and they're at a point in their careers where they've been here long enough that things are beginning to change in curricular terms as a consequence of what they're trying to do. And all three of these programs, I think, reflect the impact of junior faculty members. We've had an art history major minor for a long time. We've wanted an art history major. Now we've got one underway. We have two untenured assistant professors, one of whom is right down at the end here, who put this together. But they've brought something out that we wanted to have for a long time and haven't had. The Asian Religions and Cultures program reflects the fact that we have more faculty expertise about Asia on our faculty than we've ever had before. And it also reflects the fact that this institution is much more oriented to things Asia and reaching out to the East in ways we haven't had in the past. And I think that major is an extension of that. The film major is typical of the interdisciplinary programs that are more and more common across the campus, and I think especially in Potter College. It's a collaboration of broadcasting and the English department. It's interdisciplinary, and there probably is no degree program that I have been asked about more over the years than the film program. And we finally got one, pending a 45-day review. It's the only one in the state, and this is one that will drive enrollments. There will be students who will come here because we've got this program. It's something that folks are excited about coming out of high school. They're looking for this opportunity. And once again, it's a collection of junior faculty members, mid-career faculty members, who put together something pretty exciting and pretty dynamic. So it's a traditional degree program, a couple of new initiatives, interdisciplinary programs. I think what you're seeing here is the crest of the wave of the future for where curriculum is going in Potter College, but I think across the campus as well. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, David.
David, any questions for David?
Good stuff.
Thank you, Chairman, for that good report. I move we approve all five action items.
Second.
I think there was some two or three more that we're going to make.
Got two more to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Dr. George is the newest dean of the University College, which is an interdisciplinary college, and the organizational leadership is in his college.
Dennis? Thank you. Just three things very quickly about this degree. First of all, is its content and what it's designed to do, and that is to create that within individuals the ability to lead and manage organizations. And as you can see, that's reflected in the objectives of this degree and in its content. But a couple of the things I think that are really interesting about this degree. One is, as Dean Lee has suggested about the degrees from this college, this is a very interdisciplinary degree. If you look at the curriculum on pages 30 and 31, you see we have a core from leadership area, from management, from social behavioral sciences, hard sciences. This is truly an interdisciplinary degree, and as Dean Lee suggested a moment ago, this is something, a wave of the future, I think, putting together disciplines that have traditionally been in silos and letting them collaborate and work together. So I think that is something noteworthy about this degree. But also, I think something that is key to note here is this degree is also designed to reach out to our colleagues at KCPCS. If you note here, the first 2 years of this degree will be from an associate's degree transferred in from KCPCS or other accredited institution. And we did this on purpose. We did this to say to our colleagues at the associate degree granting institutions, we value your work, we value what you are doing with students, and we want to accept that as the foundation for future work for these students. So we hope this degree will be attractive to students who have completed a couple of years at an associate degree granting institution. So, any questions about the organizational leadership?
Thank you, Dennis.
I would also comment that, there was a time a few years ago where it was really hard to get an interdisciplinary degree because it was a question of who got credited and how do you move faculty credits for teaching across disciplinary lines. And I think the response has been tremendous on the part of the faculty in supporting an accountability system in which we don't much worry about that anymore. We have ways of crediting it and making it work in loads. So as Dean Lee said, it's really a new way of approaching curriculum development. I think you'll see a lot more of it. The Water Quality Associate Degree, Dr. Ernst. Dr. Ernst is the one who really could talk about this, and I'm sorry I looked right past you, please.
I wish past you. The Western actually has about 20, 25 years of leadership in technical systems and capacity development in the drinking water, wastewater, watershed management, all water resource management type of activities. We've been on the receiving end of federal funding to the tune of probably $15 million over the last 20-odd years. About half of it congressional appropriations, about half of it competitive grants and contract services working with we. Provide basically the technical equivalent of economic development initiatives for small drinking water systems, small wastewater systems, watershed management groups, and so on. The center is actually located in Ogden College of Science and Engineering. The degree program is actually being run through a university college And the where this is what Dr. Birch mentioned about us being uniquely poised to provide this workforce development program, and that it's the combination of the technical assistance and capacity development initiatives and the dendritic linkages that we have with the utilities, not only in Kentucky but throughout the nation, that allow us to create the program that is driven by the practitioners and promoted through the community college. The program is actually 100% online, it's hard to deliver a 100% online program without that has a very tangible experiential component, labs, mentorship, and those kind of things. So we've developed a very unique way of addressing it, in that it provides instruction online, and the experiential content is delivered at local points of presence, either partnering community colleges or, more likely, utilities that are local to the student, to provide the plant tours, the actual experiments in the lab, and the like. At this point, specific to the program, we've been lucky to secure about, currently we're operating at about $1.2 million worth of external funding to not only create the program, but to roll it out nationally. A week from now, actually, we have a deadline to submit another grant in which we're partnering with community colleges in Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and New Mexico, through the Department of Labor, to actually create more local points of presence, and we're poised in about a year or so to turn some of our National Science Foundation funding into a more concrete National Center of Excellence type of funding stream. So it's a very exciting program, in that it not only does it cross college boundaries, but it also crosses institutional boundaries and state boundaries. It's been recognized by all the major trade associations in the water and wastewater industry: Water Environment Federation, American Water Works Association, Associate Boards of Certification, Environmental Protection Agency, and the like. So we're real excited about it. Do you have any questions?
I represent the largest municipal sewer district in Kentucky, MSD, and my recollection is that there are levels of operators,
yes,
of exams. Is someone who gets this associate degree going to be able to pass those level exams?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
the answer is yes. And what we've done is we actually have a faculty member in the psychology department that is looking at the knowledge, skills, and KSA knowledge,
right,
specific to the operators and the operator levels, not only in Kentucky but also outside. But that only forms one part of the expectation from the academic perspective. So there's a fundamental science theory, and then the application, which is a lot of it, which is given through the general education requirements of a typical academic degree. That an operator that's not just doesn't just know how to turn a valve, but knows why, when, how, and so on. So you're poised to create a new type of work.
Interestingly, one of the few things the General Assembly did this year, which can't say they've done much, but at least they passed a bill allowing for a regionalization around Fort Knox, about the Salt River, discharging, because all those adjoining counties have a really deplorable wastewater treatment facilities, and the counties have not gotten together. So that's a new entity that maybe put together that would be a good thing to get involved in.
We've worked with Jeff Eager and some other folks that I've known for decades. We wanted to work with MSD and the like. But one of the other pieces of it is, not only do the students work towards a certification that is provided by each state, mm-hmm, but also industry certifications are embedded within each course. So as they take one course, they might get a certification pipeline assessment or manhole assessment and so on. So by the time they complete their two-year degree, not only do they have, are they able to sit for the state certification exam in whatever state they live in, they also have a list of letters that they can tack on the end of their name to make them more qualified.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We had one...
Yes, do you want to... Well, that's the degree progress.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I think we had a
motion.
A motion and a second.
Seconded.
Okay, and all those in favor of approving items 1 through 5, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, Dr. Birch, on item number 6, please.
Yes, and I'm sorry that Dean Evans is not able to be here today, but this is to establish a center of excellence. And I do want to alert you on the front end that the center, as proposed, is exactly what we want it to be, but it's quite possible you may see a request for a name change later because we realize we're running into one or two other centers that have similar names, and we want to be sure we don't create confusion. It's a really important move for us because we've had a GREC partnership, the Green River Educational Co-op, for many, many years, and there are lots of efforts for competitive funding at state level, and this is positioning us to be ready to do more things cooperatively with the GREC organization, as well as positioning WKU, I think, to be part of the statewide response that is coming through at least one grant that will come to the state. So this is using existing resources, but putting them together to mobilize that partnership with the surrounding school districts, and I recommend your approval.
Okay. Request for approval on item number 1, number 6.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? None. So it is approved. We have one information item here, enrollment report.
I would like to do a second information item, Mr. Myers, after the enrollment report, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Mr. Dale Brown's going to give the enrollment report today. Dr. Dean Kaler is officially on duty until Monday, and Mr. Brown graciously consented, or we twisted his arms. I'm not quite sure which it was, Dale. Some of you know Dale as the former superintendent for Warren County Schools. He came to us in January as a professional in residence and has been working with university over the spring semester in a number of capacities, but turned out that he is the perfect interim associate VP for enrollment management, and I think we've had you kind of halfway on duty for about a week now. So I've asked Dale to give the enrollment report, ask him anything you want to know, because it's probably the only time he'll be allowed to say, I don't know yet.
That being said, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. You have the initial report in your folder reflecting the numbers this year. And, of course, you can see there in the first line, middle of the first column, 4.7% difference between spring 2010, 2009, continuing to go marked change compared to the other numbers we see across the country. In addition, at the top of the next page with the enrollment source, the 4% increase with the 2010-2009 spring number. Down at the bottom, you see a noticeable change there in the doctoral program, 84 this year compared to 46 last year, and we're going to continue to understand and see those numbers change in a positive direction. So,
particularly since you personally are one of those numbers.
I hope to be one of those.
He hopes so.
Put that in perspective, the line above it, the cooperative doctoral program with the approval and the beginning of our EDD program, Doctrine Education Leadership, we are gradually phasing out of the cooperative doctoral program with the University of Louisville in a similar context. So as we phase out the cooperative doctoral, obviously we are bringing cohorts each semester into the Doctor of Education an education leadership program that is our individual degrees. So that's why you see a significant, at least percentage-wise, change on the cooperative doctoral and the growth in the what is actually the WKU doctoral.
As a matter of information, there's a deadline on graduation for those U of L co-ops, about 18 months out, and we are probably about a year and a half out now, from a little less than that, from graduating some of our first cohort in our doctoral program. So
I'll also point out some of the diversity of the numbers you see here under ethnicity, particularly the African-American enrollment. We continue to press forward in terms of ensuring that we have rich diversity across our student body. All the other data you can see, full-time, part-time, and all the classifications and so forth. But this is an encouraging report. As Dale gets into his duties with enrollment management, our applicant pool is strong for the class coming in. We're about 5 or 6 sessions into an 18-session academic transitions program process where students are engaged in actually registering for classes, have been now for a month or so, and there are 18 of those programs where students, in many cases the parents, come to campus to register for their fall classes. The numbers for this fall are strong, so a lot of positive data that gives us encouragement, and Dale will give you a lot to work with in this interim capacity and going forward.
Great information available for us. In addition, as President Ransell mentioned, the summer term at this point, and it's changing every day, is up 107, and we expect that to continue to climb. So real positive, nearing 5,200 on that. It's really early in regard to the fall semester, but we're seeing positive numbers there also. Posted as those change.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And you have a second information.
I do, yes, sir. I would like to with you the report that came from we were pleased that our institution was selected by SREB to be one of the ones that they looked at in terms of doing good things to improve student success, meaning basically to get students retained and graduated. This came out just within a matter of the last few weeks. Page 44 and 45 is the specific part of the report on Western. You can note from the stats that they give for each institution that they were looking at, particularly students on Pell Grants and students that need that extra touch or whatever it is, the various interventions to help them be successful. I trust you'll read about it. There's also a few things in the narrative that talk about several other things in our advising system. They have particularly featured the Academic Advising and Retention Center, which Dr. Ellen Bonagura directs. And you may recall a few years ago when we were fortunate enough to be able to build that Student Success Center on the other end of the Downey University Center. It is heavily used. You almost never find it not packed. And more than 27,000 students have gone through there and had services in the recent couple of years. But as you look at this, you'll see our Taking AIM program. We have many, many interventions. These are just a few of them. But the very bottom line of this is that our faculty and staff are doing enormous effort. They're making enormous effort to try to help students be successful, to be retained. You'll see the call system called Taking AIM. Been doing that a number of years. We make hundreds of calls this time of year to find out why a student isn't coming back. We try to do interventions along the way. And this is an all-campus effort. Collaboration between housing and admissions, trying to find out ways to capture what's happening to our students along the way. It reiterates what has been a traditional commitment and heritage of Western Kentucky University, and that is that for students who come and they want to learn, the place where we provide systems and help to make it happen and see them to graduation. So, Dr. Edstone, you may want to comment on it, but I do think the notion of how you promote a culture of success is a critical descriptor of what we're trying to do here.
Now, we were asked to serve on a panel at a national meeting that the Southern Region Education Board was sponsoring a few weeks ago, and I had to be in Frankfurt that particular day, but Ellen Bonnegro represented us in that national meeting and really got a lot of praise from universities across the country. Just to give you some data that puts the efforts described here in context, for the data for fiscal year ending last year, 2009, retention rate for first-time, full-time baccalaureate degree seekers was at 73.7%, up from 72% the previous year. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot of growth, but keep in mind the volume of numbers we're dealing with our full-time students. So a pretty significant increase in 1 year for full-time students. Retention rate for first-time, full-time associate degree seekers was at 57.2%, up from 55.9% the previous year. Again, numbers that maybe you think ought to be higher, but we got to take what we have and improve it. And then our six-year graduation rate was 47.3% the previous year. Last year was 49.5%. So in the three measures of associate degree students, full-time baccalaureate degree students, and six-year graduation rate, we're showing measurable progress as a direct result of what you're reading about in this particular publication. And we're beginning to get some national recognition for efforts that are taking place in that regard.
Okay, thank you so much. That concludes our Academic Affairs Committee.
I'm going to send out to the board. I'll do this in a follow-up note to you. I won't take time at this board meeting. It's not on the agenda. But since we last met as an Academic Affairs Committee, I would just share with you, and I'll send the news releases to you. Some may have already seen them, but just last weekend, our forensics team won the National Forensics Association National Championship again. Interesting story developed in that regard. A few weeks ago, they competed in the American Forensics Association National Championships as defending champion. And we get so used to being national champions in that regard, we were upset. Bradley University won that event. We finished second. And rather than woe is me, or somehow most programs would have been having a celebration to have been a national runner-up, our students dug in their heels, got a little angry about it, got a little focused, and won the American Forensics Association title by 80 points, which is a big margin in forensics for the national championship. In the National Forensics Association title there too this past weekend. So we had four students that were individual national champions in various debate categories. Incredible performance. I'll send you that news release. Secondly, since our last meeting, the Hearst Foundation has released their national final rankings, and once again, our photojournalism program has been ranked number one in American higher education, and we had four WKU students win national honors. 14 students recognized across the nation in the journalism awards competition. So again, I'll send that news release from the Hearst Foundation out to you. And this was the 50th anniversary of the Hearst competition. But again, continuing success on the part of our school is in journalism broadcasting. And Jack, our WKU Public Broadcasting, won 22 Associated Press Awards at the AP ceremonies in Lexington on April 8th. So congratulations, Jack Ains, for all of our folks in public broadcasting. But this is the time of year when a lot of ceremonies are taking place that measure what universities do. And things that we have excelled at in the past, we continue to excel in lots of different ways. But these are the three things that have just occurred in the last couple of weeks that I will follow up with you and share those news releases with you.
Thank you, sir. Mayor.